Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
Praise the Lord. And my wife is in Florida. She is overseeing construction, overseeing all kinds of work that's being done right now. And I'm afraid I've been cooking on my own and it's upset my stomach. So I'm kind of running on a funny feeling this morning, but how many know God's grace is always sufficient? It's always sufficient. I've been speaking about the prophetic church, and I'm going to continue. This is a part five because I really feel like in the end of days we are going to have to be prophetic. And being prophetic not only means foretelling the future, in other words, speaking about things that are to come. Well, oftentimes we think of the prophet telling about things that are going to happen in the future, but prophecy is also forth-telling, which means you're speaking about things that are. You're testifying about who Jesus is. Prophecy is forth-telling, and it's also foretelling. So if you look in Revelations 19 and verse 10, it says there, worship Jesus. It says, worship Jesus. It says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is testifying about Jesus. And we've been looking in 1 Kings, and we've been looking especially at Elijah, who's the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. We know that Jesus was the greatest prophet in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, Elijah, he calls down fire from heaven. And the disciples want to do the same thing when they get to Samaria. They want to be just like him, so they want to call fire down upon the people in Samaria. And we know that in the end of times, the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, they're going to have fire coming out of their mouth, and they're going to call fire down from heaven. So there's going to be fire, and all of us are looking for the fire of the Holy Spirit to flow and to move and to encourage all of us. God has a prophetic ending in mind when he comes and he looks at how he's going to finish and how he's going to complete the work. It's going to be a prophetic ending. Jesus gave a great commission to his disciples, but he also said that he's going to give them power to accomplish that mission. He's going to pour out his spirit in Acts 2:17 in the last days. God says, I'll pour my spirit on all people. Everyone, sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams, even upon my servants, both men and women. Now there was a day, if a woman spoke from this pulpit, men in the church walked out. I don't know if you know that. I had a couple of them that came and talked to me. They didn't like to have men in the pulpit. Thank God that's not today. I said, thank God that's not today. Thank God it's not today. I'll pour out my spirit and they will prophesy, men and women. They'll get up, they'll foretell about the wonderful grace that they found in Christ Jesus. Sons and daughters, we are living in a season of spiritual acceleration. There's going to be a great harvest of souls that's going to come into the kingdom of God. He promises that's going to happen. And everything we see happening today, as you watch it on the news, everything that you see has to be interpreted in the light of God's heart. God's heart is to bring redemption to the lost. That's his heart. He's reaching out. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died for our sins. And Elijah, in the day, there was a great drought that took place. It was a famine in the land. Today, we find there's a famine in America. There's a famine in the world. The famine is a famine of God's Word. There's a famine out there. People are turning away from the Word of God. That's why we need a prophetic ending, because a prophet always turns people back to God and his Word. That's what a prophetic ending means. We also know that the enemy is going to try to distort the prophetic ending by bringing the very spirit of Antichrist. He wants to influence by bringing false prophets. like the prophets of Baal in the days of Elijah. The same thing happened. These false prophets will come and they will attempt to quickly change the world. They'll tell us we need to go back to the law. Do this, do that, do this. And there'll be divisions and there'll be strife. There'll be no grace. There'll be legalism. All kinds of things will happen. We should be concerned whenever a political party wants to remove God from the platform. We should be very concerned about that. We need to be alert as Christians. Now, if the rapture took place today, I'd be happy. I'd be thrilled. And I think you would be too. If you're ready to go up in the first load, you'd be happy. But while it's still day, we need to pray. We need to plan. We need to act as though we believe that there's coming a great awakening. We need to believe there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If we complete our part in God's prophetic plan, which is to win the lost, we know that the end will come. Jesus says when the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, then the end will come. So we need to do our job to continually preach the gospel to the end of the world. And when the end comes, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Notice prophecy comes up even near the end of days because it's so vitally important. Didn't we drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, so because of this particular scripture where he says many people are going to prophesy and Jesus says, I'm sorry, I didn't know you, many people despise prophecy because of this. They despise it. They don't want any part of it. I believe that there's pastors. I believe that there's evangelists. I believe there's apostles. I believe there are prophets today. I believe that the Spirit of Jesus, really, his testimony is the spirit of prophecy. We all need to be able to foretell the story of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4 tells us there are many different ministry gifts. One of them is a prophet. And God's will is that all of God's people would prophesy. And I'm not talking about just telling the future. I'm talking about being a testimony of who Jesus Christ is in your life. Prophets were people who taught, who spoke God's word and were raised up to call people back to God. We have been raised up and called to speak the gospel, to bring people back to God. The most important part of the prophet's ministry was the message. The message is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the message. Last Sunday, I emphasized that many of you have been given a message and you've been placed strategically in very hostile environments. You've been placed there. God has you in a position for a reason, for a purpose. Very similar to Obadiah. You remember Obadiah was placed in King Ahab's cabinet. He was strategically placed there. Ahab was a very evil king. He looked for Elijah. He wanted to find Elijah. He really wanted to destroy the prophet Elijah. Destroy the spoken word of God. And Elijah spoke and he said, for 3.5 years, there's going to be no rain. Not only no rain, but there's going to be no dew, no water. No water, let's say no washing of the water of the word in the land. No water at all. And Elijah, he's running. And all of a sudden, he finds Obadiah. And Obadiah, he's looking for water to feed the cattle of Ahab, looking for grass, looking for water so he can feed the horses and the cattle of the king. And he runs into Elijah. How many know there are no coincidences? My stomach just told me that was right. There are no coincidences in God. Everything that happens to us, there's a reason. God has a plan for everything. That's why when you bump into somebody this week, you hand them one of these Easter cards. That's why you got them. It wasn't an accident you bumped into them. Hand them a card. Invite them to come. Nothing is coincidental. The evangelists always remind us that God knows our name. Number the hairs on our head. He directs our path. He loves us with an everlasting love. And Obadiah was a follower of God, but he was terrified at the thought of being seen with Elijah, being seen with a Bible, being seen preaching the gospel. Terrified. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 10, as surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or a kingdom where my master, he's talking about Ahab, has not sent someone to look for you, Elijah. And whenever a nation or a kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. So Obadiah is anxious of being seen with Elijah because Ahab wants to capture him. And Obadiah, if he's seen with Elijah, then Ahab's going to think that there's some kind of conspiracy that Obadiah is working with Elijah. And the king would treat him as a spy. So he's very anxious about this. Some of you deal with anxieties. You have anxieties in your life. Don't ever put yourself down for feeling when you have an anxious moment. All of us have anxious moments. Every one of us. Even the Apostle Paul, who was told, he told us not to be anxious. He says, don't be anxious about anything. But he's anxious about his fellow laborer, Titus, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 12. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, and I found the Lord had opened a door for me, so he's got a great opportunity to preach. The door is open. They're ready to hear. He says, but I still had no peace of mind. He's anxious in his heart. Why? Because I didn't find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and I went to Macedonia. Paul has an open door, but he's anxious because he's concerned. Being anxious doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. Don't let the devil fool you. He wants you to think maybe you're a second-class citizen because you have concerns in your life. Obadiah loved the Lord. He hid and he fed the prophets. But he was terrified when he met Elijah. Completely terrified. God knows your frame. He created you. He doesn't point a finger at you when you're anxious or make you feel inferior. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 tells us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He loves us. And as soon as Obadiah saw Elijah, he saw him, fear gripped Obadiah's heart. Notice what he did. He turned inward. When fear grips our hearts, that's what we often do. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we read in verse number 9, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong? Asked Obadiah, that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death. Obadiah is imagining that this is his fault. It's his fault that he has run into this prophet. He thinks it's something he did. Maybe some secret sin in his life. We often blame ourselves when things go wrong. We even might feel like God is punishing us. So if you feel that way, let me tell you something, you're in good company. Nobody's perfect. We all have things we need to work on. We don't know as much about Obadiah as we do about Elijah, but we know Obadiah was faithful. He was devoted to the Lord. He worked quietly behind the scenes. There are parts of this body, parts of Bethany that you never see. You might run into Cindy when she's working in the kitchen. You might enjoy her food. But maybe you never see Sandy working back there, or Roseanne, or Diana, or Gloria, or Dick. Maybe you never see the counters who work every Monday, or the folks in the prayer room, or the people behind the scene. There are people everywhere in this body that are faithful to the kingdom of God. They are inner workings, which are vital to the health and the function of Bethany Assembly of God. And they're just as important as the visible parts. Some are even more important. You're going to receive a letter from me asking you for an Easter offering next week. And then the following week, I'm going to ask you for a first fruits offering. We're going to take that on the 27th. Everything that we do has a reason and has a purpose. And it works for the kingdom of God. So don't close your heart to these things. Obadiah was asked to do something very difficult. It says in 1 Kings chapter 18, "But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave." Remember? He has this reputation, Elijah. One minute he's here, one minute he's there. They don't know where he's going to be. And so he says, "If I go tell Ahab and he doesn't come here to find you, he's going to kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshiped the Lord since my youth. I'm committed to you." Committed to the Lord's work. God often asks us to do difficult things, not easy things. Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac. Samuel was anointed. He anointed David as king way before Saul was off the scene. Joseph had to accept Mary, even though she was pregnant. The ride into Jerusalem, knowing he would be crucified. Elijah comes back to Israel. He was out of Israel, but he comes back into Israel, even though there's a reward of dead or alive on his head. He says, now in 1 Kings chapter 18, 14, "And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah's here. He will kill me.'" The task, the ask, maybe it was unfair to Obadiah. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 13, "Haven't you heard, my Lord, honoring the prophet, what I did to Jezebel was killing the prophets when Jezebel was killing them. I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, supplied them with food and water. I served God. Now you ask me to do this? You ask me to do something else?" How many of you know sometimes when God asks us to do things, it seems unfair? God will try us. He will test us. The most unfair event in history, when Jesus is sentenced to the cross. I don't think I can finish. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to help us. Pastor Ken's going to come and lead us in a couple of choruses, and I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org. Like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow. For your promises, Lord, yeah, from seed to sequoia. Yeah, I know, though the winds are
'cause that is worth my patience. Then if you're not the working, God, I'm not the waiting. 'Cause you can't see my promise, even in the winter. 'Cause you're the God of greatness, even in major. For all I know in seasons is that you take your time. You could have saved us in a second. Instead you said, child. Calvary support.